Mr. Pullen, reel 26.
I wondered if, in your experience, conditions in the lower deck of the Navy changed at all after the war.
Oh, yes, enormous.
What kinds of things?
The discipline to start off with. Discipline fell all to pieces. Men could talk to an officer like they nearly talked to a man. You couldn't do that before the war. If you looked at an officer, he'd have you for sight and contempt, really. I've had as much as this, and we fell in Sundays. We used to always fall in Sundays for church. When I wasn't going to church then, see, we'd go to church on board. There wouldn't be a church ashore for us then, see, Wesleyans. And say, we'd have our clothes brush, our Bible and prayer book, see. We'd be filled in divisions, different divisions, see. And we had two officers there, Bully Woodward and Bully Strong, we called them, see. And old Bully Woodward, because he was in his best clothes, that gold braid down here, had a bit of something on his trousers, see. And he said to me, out here, you know, point at, see. I had all my clothes brushed and brushed it all, see. He didn't say thank you like a gentleman, say. He put his foot up like that and hit me right in the stomach. And I fell over, you know, on the deck. Got up and fell in.
Which ship was this?
This was in the Drake.
Before the war?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody took any notice there, you know. They didn't say a thing there to him because he could easily set the four Marines, get on him, see. Now, that's to show you what discipline was like, see. Mm.
Were there any other changes in the Navy after the war? Any changes in any of your conditions of service?
Yes, pay started off with. Pay and the conditions of food. Food is going to be different. It went altogether different. It was surprising. I took my wife on board the New Glasgow and I was surprised to see the food the men were being served out with. Every description, you know. There were the cooks there, so many cooks on board, whereas when we used to run two cooks in the Navy, we used to make our own dishes and all that, see? Take them up the galley with a piece of wood on, say 43 mess or whatever number your mess was. Cooks would put them in the oven, you know, see, or in the big tanks. Potatoes in the spud nets. Peas in the pea nets, you see? Chuck them all in there. 12 o'clock out they come, cooked or not cooked. That was your meals, anyhow. You could take it only at night. No, today.
No, so, I'm not.
Not today.
I'm not interested in today. I'm only interested in when you were in the Navy.
Yeah, just
in.
No, the day they changed over there, the surprising thing altogether. My pay went up then, nearly to £1 a day, from 3 and 4 a day, and we had a white paper. I had a white paper here somewhere. We were going to new things in the Navy. Everything was going to be different. Pensions was a bit different, bit better pensions then.
What about conditions in the mess decks? Did they improve in your period after the First World War?
No, not in my time. I didn't see, if I speak the truth, I didn't see much of the Navy after I left the mystery ship because I went to another cruise up the Baltic. You know, we were up there bombarding the Bolsheviks. And that was in a ship called the Cordelia. She was a 400 cruiser.
Oh, so these changes which you told me took place, these weren't changes in your time. You're talking about much nearer, much, much later, after you'd left the service. Mm. Yeah.
No, not after. After I left. After I left, yes. But these changes was really going to happen while I was there. But I wasn't there long enough to have much of these changes, see.
Tell me about the operations you were involved in Russia, in the Cordelia.
Well, I was only just doing a bit of bombarding, that was all.
Where was that?
Off of Riga, R-I-G-A, Riga. And we didn't stop there long. We come down, went back to Danzig, Poland.
Well, exactly what did you do at Riga?
Well, the gunnery we done, I suppose. I we sure just after, I was talking to a French woman. She said, oh, well, they've been treated, you know, see. And Russia was in alpha state then. But the gunnery we done was, I don't know what they was really blowing after, I'm sure. I know we had we fired about umpteen rounds there at the in the town, you know, see.
At what targets?
No targets at all, just the area. And there was only wooden houses. We went ashore afterwards. Some people was living in offers. Some had goats living in their houses with them.
So you were just firing anywhere at the time?
Anywhere at the time, because I suppose it was these Boches, I suppose. They was. Yeah.
What did you think about all this?
Well, I thought myself it was a waste of time. And working it all out, what was there in it, really? After all, old Rasputin had done what he wanted doing. And our navy now was gone anyhow. It wasn't the same navy. It seemed to have happened in a few days, after the war was over, no navy. Discipline and fell through and didn't seem to be this. There wasn't the same comradeship. I went back up to gunnery school and I was surprised. We had some Australians there, let's see. They loitered about there, never, didn't bother much, wouldn't talk too much. It seemed a different class of men come into the world altogether. Or I was a different class of men going into their world, see. I remember after I come home from South America, when I went back in the gunnery school, sat down having something to eat. A couple of chaps over me before that shouted out, pull in there, you know. I what's up? Says, you want a weekend? They could get me a ticket for a weekend. They were so in, you know, in the swim, see. And more friendly altogether. Comradeship. It's not the same now. It's surprising, you know, the difference.
When you, those years you spent up to 1926 before you left the service, did you enjoy the years after the war in the Navy as much as you had the years before? Which period had you preferred? The Navy before the war or the Navy?
Oh, I preferred the Navy before the war. It kept men down, you know, see. Men, it would have been a nuisance on board. They couldn't be a nuisance there. I see so much of that, Joe. You know, men come off drunk. If you happen to pass the officer to watch, stand up for the officer to watch, you always inspect them, see. He'd be sober. When he got on the mess, he'd be drunk. He'd want to fight everybody, you know, see. And some of these men didn't want to fight him, you know. They didn't want to be tucked up with him because they knew it was all trouble, you see. But you usually get troublesome people like that. But I prefer the Navy before the war. With all the discipline, I admired it. Met officers was tyrants, but they were smart and they were good-looking and they were well-spoken. Every word they spoke, you could hear it, you know. Afterwards, we see, they brought up so many of these lower deck people, you know, made them mates and they rose to be lieutenants and lieutenant commanders, you see. And you know yourself, people that rises like that, it's not nice to live with them, really. I never found them. They're friendly, but they're two-faced. Is that what I mean? I give you an instance. Old Frowsy Freeman, that was the commander-in-chief of Portsmouth, when my time was up for pension, and he come aboard and inspected the ship I was in, see? He says, you keep your ship nice and clean. Tell off your men for my swimming test. He had a mania for swimming. So I told him all, they hadn't passed this test, see? He said, what about you? Oh, I said, I haven't passed it. I'd passed the swimming before in the Navy, see? But this was another new lot he'd brought out. Because when he was up the Dardanelles, he lost so many men. Of course, they were hostilities, see? Chaps had never had no swimming lesson. However, I had to go up and pass out of this swimming. And I was leaving the Navy in the February, and this was the end of November, freezing cold. When I went in the swimming baths, you had to get underneath the disinfecting shower first before you got in the water. And, you know, I didn't want it. I wanted to leave the Navy now. Anyhow, the instructor said, all right, Ted, let's see how you can swim. Done one stroke up, see? All right, put on this duck suit, he said, and a pair of boots. Swim up and down for four times in 2 minutes, float. Well, then boots took me down, I didn't do it. If I didn't do it the first time, I had 10 more goes to do it, see? But the best part about it was, I could be home of a Friday night here, and still a Saturday morning, see? So I could gain a few hours home. The next time I went up, there was a lieutenant commander, there was an AB with me. Same thing happened. I had the pole because my boots took me down, see? He said to me, Ted, what are you doing here? Oh, I said, I got to pass out of this swimming, Ted. Don't you come here no more, he said. Go on. He said, instructor, he's a twister, I know him. We'd been ABs together, though, see? So I never passed out that test. And on the Monday, my certificate was on board, say, I was very good. So you see, things like that happened with him, see?
Well, if it said very good on your swimming certificate, although you hadn't passed, then this old messmate of yours must have fixed it for you.
He fixed it. Yes.
Well, I thought you said ranker officers were two-faced.
Oh, they were. I mean, say, in the great majority, he might have been all right in that respect.
But he was trying to help you, wasn't he? Didn't you appreciate that?
No. Well, I tell you what was hurting him, is I could get home a few hours before he could. Uh-huh. That's what I think about it. But you look around the other side of it, see?
Yes.
Oh, they were. I found them. I went up for the first reunion. And we had one there for the name Nobby Clark. Last time I saw him, he was AB, drawing out the ring bolts on the upper deck. And I said, hello, Nobby. They said to me, here, Ted, he's a lieutenant in the Navy. I said, don't make no difference to me, I said. You see? And Nobby said, where you living, Ted? I said, in Dorset. Oh, he said, I'm living in Weymouth, he said. I'll take you home in my car. I said, no, you won't. I said, I booked my ticket home in a bus. I didn't really have no room for him because I fell in with one or two of them. It was like that. Or in the Swiftshaw, we had one mate there, you know, Tartary was. He'd listen to the information you had, and he'd spew it up, see? For instance, I'll tell you something. Well, I was there with AB, and I had to make our stages. We used to call the ship with baskets, you know, walk up the stages and tip the coal in the bunkers, you know, in small baskets. And we had to join pieces of wood together, see? And this new mate, he was instructor for the ordinary seaman. And he had them all around him, see? And I was the AB, and there was a lieutenant commander there. The lieutenant commander said to one of the men, now you pass that ball of twine around while he's working, see? So when I finished the job, this mate said, now what do you call that? These kids didn't know, see? He said, that's what they call splicing. I said, that's where you made a mistake. They call that fishing. Now, I ought not to have said that in front of all of these, see? That hurt him, see? Now, after that, I was in his bad books.
When did this happen?
In Malta.
When?
1910 in the Swiftshaw.
Oh, so this was before the war?
Before the war?
Yeah.